بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 32nd session reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Level 3, Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Before we begin the lesson today, I just want to remind us that the first book, Book 1 of the Medina Arabic course, deals with Level 1 of that program. And the second book, Book 2, deals with Level 2 of that program. The third book, Book 3, actually covers two levels of the program, Level 3 and Level 4. So there are four levels. The Book 3 actually covers two levels. The third level is from Lessons 1 through 17. That's the end of the third level. Then there's a break in the course, and the students come back for the next semester. And two levels are covered in each year. So in the first year, you cover level 1 and 2. That's in book 1 and 2. And in the second year, you cover levels 3 and 4. That's both of them are in the third book. So right now, we are near the end of level 3, which ends with lesson 17. The lessons that follow after that are actually part of the level 4 course. And I did want to hear from those who have been attending the class online, live, or listening to the recordings. I did want to hear your thoughts concerning reviewing level 3, which ends with lesson 17. Once we finish lesson 17, we haven't finished it yet, but once we finish it, I just want to hear, before we get to that point, what are your thoughts about having a brief review of what we covered in these 17 lessons, which is a lot of material? Or do you feel that there's no need for a review and you would like to just go on to the next level? As for me, my normal way is that I always review a level before we go on to the next level. I believe that review is really, really important. However, I still, before making a final decision, I'd like to hear from those of you who have been attending regular, or either listening to the live sessions at this time, or are listening to the recordings later. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are about that. So far, I've heard from two students who pretty much said that they would like to do a review, or at least a brief review. And I'd like to hear from others, from the rest of those who have been attending regular. What are your thoughts? Do you want to review or not? Okay, so that being said, today, inshallah, we want to take a new lesson. As we mentioned in the email that was sent out today, inshallah, we're taking a new lesson, lesson 15. And for homework during the week, we broke up the English key into various daily assignments, covering the entire English key, which is quite lengthy and deals with a lot of materials. And it's 6 pages long. There's 7 points, several of them really fundamental issues that we need to learn well. And so I thought that rather than to race through it, that we'll take a little bit each day for homework to preview before this live session. And then today, inshallah, in the live session, we'll try to cover the entire English key. I should also note that this lesson is one of the lengthiest lessons in the book. The lesson itself is 20 pages. And if the English key is 6 pages, the dialogue is 3 full pages long. And the exercises are 11 pages. So this lesson is going to take us 3 sessions. That's how I estimate it, that one session will be for the English key, the second session will do the Arabic dialogue and some of the exercises, and then in the final session we'll do the remaining exercises. I think we can do it in 3 sessions, inshallah. We're not going to do it in less than 3 sessions, that's for sure. But let's see. Again, we're not in a race, but at the same time, we want to be on top of it. So today, inshallah, we'll do the English key. And in the next session, we'll start with the Arabic text and do whatever of the exercises we're able to do. The exercises are 11 pages. So we'll do some of those pages, hopefully next week, and the remainder in the following session. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. That's how I see it. Let's not take another minute without proceeding. Okay. So we're reading from the English key for lesson 15. beginning on page 58. Beginning on page 58. So as I mentioned, there are 7 points. Some of these points are more detailed than others. Some of them are more important than others. Some of them are going to be easy to go through, and some of them are going to require, yani, several readings and some memorization in order to comprehend and to grasp fully. So, on page 58, in this lesson, we learn the following. Number one, first of 7 points. Number one, by the way, this first point is divided into several topics, okay? So, the first topic is the introduction to the shart, or the continuation of the discussion of shart that we started in lesson 14. The second part of the lesson is a listing of various words that are used in the shart construction. And in the previous lesson we had إذا, in this lesson we're going to start with in, and we're going to mention several other words that are used for shart constructions. The next part of point number one is looking at the tense of the verb that's in the shart and the tense of the verb that's in the جواب الشرط, يعني between being past tense or present tense or a combination of them. The next part of the lesson is when fa is necessary to precede the جواب of the shart. So we're going to be dealing with, in point number one, 3 pages, we're going to be dealing with this point, yani the shart, the different words that are used for shart, the verb, the tense of the verb in the shart and in the jawab shart, and then the 9 different situations. We covered 2 of them in the previous lesson. We're going to cover the remaining 7 in this lesson, the cases or situations in which it's necessary for the jawab of the shart to be preceded or to, yani, be accompanied by the particle fa. Alright, so the first point is going to be quite detailed, 3 pages long. The second point is also at least a whole page long. The third point and the fourth point are relatively brief. The fifth point and the sixth point are detailed. 7th point is brief. So some of these points are really quite involved, and some of them are going to be quite easy. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, again, page 58, lesson 15, point number 1. In this lesson, we learned the following. In the previous lesson, we have been introduced to the shart. We will learn more about it in this lesson. And previously, we had إذا, which is an instrument of shart that doesn't make the mudari verb majzoom. In this lesson, we're going to see more details about the shart, and we're going to see some of those adawat al-shart, those instruments of condition which make the mudari verb majzoom, and exceptions to that. So, we were introduced to the shart previously. We will learn more about it in this lesson. Another very important word denoting shart is in. Hamza, kasra, noon with sukoon. In. It means if. Yani if this, then that. For example, in tadhab, adhab. If you go, I will also go. In tadhab, if you go, that's the condition. If you go, if you do that, then what is the jawab? Then I will also go with you. Okay, so the shart, the condition is if you go, then the jawab is, then I will also go. In tadhab, adhab. Note that both the verbs, that is in the shart, in tadhab, and the jawab shart, adhab, both of the verbs are majzoom. In tadhab with sukoon, adhab with sukoon. That is why in, this particle in, and its sisters, which we will shortly meet, are called adawatu al-sharti al-jazimatu. And al-jazimatu is a not describing adawat. And shart is mudaf ilayh. Adawatu al-sharti al-jazimatu. That is conditional words which render or cause the mudari verb to be majzoom. And they don't affect the past tense verb because past tense verbs are mabniyun. So, we're looking at in first, a very important, yani, word denoting shart. And we'll be shortly looking at some of the other instruments or tools of shart. which are known as adawatu al-sharti al-jazimatu, conditional words which make the mudari verb majzum. Here are some more examples for in. If you eat rotten food, yani that's the condition. If you eat rotten food, what will happen? What's the jawab? You will fall sick. In Arabic we say, in ta'kul ta'aman fasidan tamrad. In ta'kul, yani in is the shart. Ta'kul is the verb of the shart, the fi'l shart. In ta'kul, if you do that, then what will happen? Tamrad, you will fall sick, you will become sick. So note here that the verb of the shart, ta'kul, is majzoom with sukoon. And the verb of the jawab shart, tamrad, is also majzoom with sukoon. If you eat rotten food, you will fall sick. Second example. If you help Allah, yani support the deen of Allah and the messenger of Allah against the enemies of Islam, if you help Allah, He will help you and make your foothold firm. This is from the Quran, 47th surah, 7th ayat. If you help Allah, that's the condition, Allah will help you. And He will also make your feet firm. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. So in is the shart. Tansuru is the fi'l of the shart. It's mansub, a majzoom. And the sign that is majzoom is the omission of the noon from tansuruna. The omission of the noon. In tansuru allaha yansurkum. Then he, Allah, will help you. Yansurkum is the jawab of the shart. The jawab, we see that the fi'l of the shart, tansuru, is majzoom, and the jawab of shart, yansur, is also majzoom. Wa yuthabbit is connected to yansur by waw al-atif, so it's also majzoom. And if you help Allah, help the deen of Allah, then Allah will help you, and Allah will also yuthabbit, make firm, aqdamakum, your feet. Alright, so we see here in this example as well that the fi'l of the shart, tansuru, and the jawab of the shart, yansur, both of them are majzoom, in addition to yuthabbit, which is connected by wa'al atif to yansur. The next example they gave us, if you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, if you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, I shall be among the losers. If you do not forgive me, that is the shart. What will happen if you do not forgive me? I shall be amongst the losers. That's the jawab shart. This is from the Quran, 11th surah, 47th ayat. In Arabic we say, wa illa, yani wa illa means wa in la, yani the shart here is in. Wa in la taghfir li, yani if you do not forgive me, wa tarhamni, and have mercy upon me, akun, that's the jawab shart, akun min al khasirin. So here we see that the shart, the fi'l of the shart, taghfir, is majzoom with sukoon. Wa tarham is connected to it by waw al-atif, so it's also majzoom. And the jawab al-shart, if you do not forgive and have mercy upon me, then what will happen? Akun min al-khasirin, I will be of the losers. Here, note that after it mentions, this is from Quran 11th surah, 47th ayat, it says here, illa, yani, wa illa taghfir li. Illa is equal to in plus la. The particle of shart, in plus la nafiya. Illa taghfirli means wa in la taghfirli. And if you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, then the jawab of shart, akun min al khasirin, I will be of the losers. So here what we are looking at so far in the first part of this point number one is we're looking at the particle of shart, yani in, which means if this, then that. Okay, and we are also noting that unlike either, with in, and as we'll see, the sisters of in, the mudari verb, that's the fi'l of the shart, and the mudari verb, that's the jawab of the shart, both became majzoom. However, if the fi'l of the shart or the jawab of shart is not mudari, if it's yani madi, then the madi verbs are mabniyun. They are fixed, so they are not affected by this type of construction. But the mudari verb, if a mudari verb is the fi'l of the shart, it became majzum. And if it is the jawab of a shart, it became majzum. If both of them are mudari, both of them become majzum. If one of them is mudari, the one that's mudari becomes majzum. With the exception of if the jawab of shart is preceded by fa, in that case, there's an exception. We'll come to that when we get there. Otherwise, in and the sisters of in, the adawat al-shart al-jazima, make the mudari verb. In the shart and in the jawab al-shart, make it majzum. Okay, let's go on to the next part of point number one. We're still on page 58. It says, here are the other words belonging to adawatu al-sharti al-jazimatu. Here are the other words that belong to the instruments of shart, of condition, that make the mudari verb majzum. So they listed here six words. Number one, men, which means who, whoever. Ma, which means that which, what, yani, whatever. Mata, which means whenever. Aina, which means wherever. And on the next page, ayu, which means whichever. And mahma, which means whatever. So they gave us six more words that are used for shart constructions, conditional constructions. And each one is classified according to its meaning. Men is the noun that's used to make a shart in reference to aqil, people. And ma is the word that's used to make a shart with ghayru aqil, things that are not human. And mata is a word that's used to make a shart in reference to time, whenever. And aina is in reference to place, wherever. And ayu, it can be for any one of them. It depends on what is connected to an idhafa. And mahma, whatever, is for yani ghayru aqil. Okay, so we're going to look at each one of them and the examples that they gave. And then we'll go on to the next point, that is looking at the verb, the tense of the verb being past tense or present tense. Okay, so right now we look at what? Other words that are used for the shart construction. And each one is either used for aqil, people, or ghayru aqil, things, in reference to time, zaman, or place, makan. And ayu is used depending on what it is connected to. It could be used for aqil or could be used for ghayru aqil. Okay, again, we're on page 58. Here, the second half of the page here, other words belonging to adawatu al-sharti al-jazimatu. Number one, men, which means he, who, or whoever. For example, whoever does an atom's weight of good shall see it. This is Quran 99, verse 7. Whoever does an atom's weight of good shall see it. Yani, whoever does an atom's weight of good is the shart. Shall see it is the jawab al-shart, is what will happen. If you do an atom's weight of good, you will see, yani, its reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in yawm al-qiyamah. Okay? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَاهُ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَاهُ. Okay? Men is the instrument of shart. Ya'mal is the fi'l of the shart. It's majzum. Yarahu is the jawab of shart. And khayran is tamyiz for mithqala dharratin, yani an atom's weight of khayr, of good. But what we're looking at here is the fi'l of the shart is ya'mal, majzum. And yara is majzum. Yani it's originally yara with alif maksura. So the alif maksura, the weak letter at the end is deleted. That's the sign of it being majzum. So the fi'l of the shart and the fi'l of the jawab al-shart are both mudari verbs, so both of them are majzum. So this is an example for what? The first of the sisters of in, that is men, which is used in reference to aql, whoever, in reference to people. Whoever does an atom's weight of good, yarahu, shall see it, yani yawmu qiyamah, its compensation, its reward. Number two, ma, which means that which. This is used for ghayru aql, for things other than people. And whatever good you do, Allah knows it. Whatever it might be that you do, وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَمَا تَفْعَلُ Whatever you do, مِنْ خَيْرٍ of good, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ Allah knows it. So, مَا is the instrument of شرط. تَفْعَلُ is the fi'l of the شرط. It's مَجْزُوم. It's a mudari verb, so it became مَجْزُوم. And يَعْلَم is the jawab al-shart, the fi'l of the jawab. It's also mudari, so it became majzoom. Sign of it being majzoom is sukoon. So whatever it might be that you do of good, Allah knows it. This is Quran, second surah, 197th ayat. The third one is mata, whenever. Yani it is a noun of shart that's used in reference to time. Whenever you travel, I will also travel. Whenever it might be that you travel, I will also travel. So mata is the adat al-shart. Tusafir is the fi'l al-shart. It's majzoom. Usafir is the jawab al-shart. And it's also majzoom. Number four, aina, wherever. Yani this is a noun that's used as a shart, adat al-shart, an instrument of shart that's used in reference to place. Whenever. Wherever. Wherever you stay, I will also stay. Wherever it might be that you stay, I will also stay. Aina taskun askun. Aina is the adat al-shart. Taskun, mudari verb, is the fi'l of the shart, is majzoom with sukoon. And askun is the mudari verb, that's jawab al-shart, therefore it's also majzoom. Taskun, askun. Aina taskun, askun. With aina, it says an extra ma is often added to aina for emphasis. For example, aina ma takunu yudrikkumul maut. In my book it has aina ma kuntum. This is from the Quran, 4th surah, 78th ayat. But kuntum is a printing mistake. It should be aynama takunu. Aynama takunu. Aynama takunu. Wherever you might be, yudrik kumul mautu. Death will reach you. Death will overtake you. So aynama is the adat al-shart, the instrument of condition. Takunu, the mudari verb, is the fi'l of the shart. And it's majzoom bihadf and noon, by the omission of the noon from takoonuna. Yudrik is the jawab al-shart. It's a mudari verb, so it's majzoom. The sign of it being majzoom is sukoon. Aynama takoonu, that's the shart. Yudrik kumul maut, jawab al-shart. Wherever you may be, death will overtake you. This from the Quran, 4th surah, 78th. Ayat. If you turn over the page, you see the 5th and 6th of the Adawat al-Shart al-Jazima, yani ayyu, which means whichever one it might be. Ayyu mu'jamin najidhu fil maktabati nashtarihi. Yani whichever dictionary we find in the bookshop, we will buy it. Whichever one it might be. Ayyu mu'jam. Anyone, whichever one we find in the maktaba, nashtarihi, we will buy it. Yani ayyu mu'jamin najidhu. Najidhu is the fi'l of the shart. It's mudari, so it's majzoom. And nashtari is the fi'l of the jawab. Jawab al-shart is mudari, so it's also majzoom. The sign that is majzoom is the omission of the weak letter at the end. Yani originally it's ishtara, yashtari, nahnu, nashtari. So the ya on the end is omitted. That's the sign that it's majzoom. Whichever dictionary, whatever one it may be, ayya, mu'ajam, najidhu, fil maktabati, nashtarihi. Whichever dictionary we find in the bookstore, we buy. And the last one is mahma, which means whatever. مَحْمَا تَقُلْ نُصَدِّقْكَ. Whatever you say, we believe you. Whatever you might say, whatever it might be. Yani this is an ism Yani of sharat, a noun for sharat, that's for غير عاقل. Whatever it might be that you say, تقول نصدقك, we will believe you. So, مهما is the adat الشرط, the instrument for condition. تقول is the فعل الشرط. The verb of the شرط is مضاري, so it is مجزوم. يعني it is originally تقول. يعني قال يقول أنت تقول. When it became مجزوم, the last letter lam took سكون, which was preceded by wow with sukoon in order to eliminate ibtika sakinain, the weak letter, wow is deleted. Mahma taqul. So taqul is the fi'l of the shart, it's majzoom. And nusaddiq is also, yani majzoom, it's the fi'l of the jawab shart. Since it's mudari verb, it's majzoom, sign of it being majzoom is sukoon. Okay, so this is the second part of point number one, yani the other words, other adawat, instruments of shart that make mudari verbs majzoom. The next part of point number one deals with the tense of the verb of the shart and the tense of the verb of the jawab shart. The tense of the shart and jawab verbs. Yani is it past tense or is it present tense? Is it madi or is it mudari? So these instruments of shart make the mudari verb majzoom. They do not make the madi verb, which is mabniun majzoom. So whenever you see any of these instruments, it's only gonna affect the mudari verb. It makes the mudari verb, whether it is the shart verb or the jawab shart verb, it makes it majzoom unless, as we'll see in the next point, unless that jawab shart is prefixed or preceded by fa. In that case, it will not affect the mudari verb, but rather the whole jawab will become يعني في محلي جزم, in the place where it should be مجزوم. Okay, let's look at the tense of the two verbs of the شرط construction. The verb of the شرط and the verb of the جواب. So there are four possibilities. Okay, because you have two things, you have a past tense verb and you have a present tense verb, so there are four possibilities. Both of them can be مضاري, both of them can be ماضي. The first one can be madi with the second one mudari, or the first one can be mudari with the second one madi. These instruments of jazm only affect the mudari verb. Okay, so let's look at the four possibilities of the tense of the verbs in the yani shart construction. A, both of them may be mudari. For example, wa in ta'udu na'ud, and if you return to the attack, we shall also return. Wa in ta'udu. Ta'udu is originally ta'uduna. It's majzoom. The sign that it's majzoom is hadf and noon. Na'ud is originally na'udu. When it became majzoom, the last letter del took sukoon. It was preceded by waw with sukoon in na'udu. In order to eliminate iltiqa' sakinain, the weak letter waw is omitted. So we see that here that in this statement, both the shart verb and the jawab verb are both mudari, so both of them became majzoom. B, both of them may be madi, even though the meaning is going to be future. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ, as we said with إِذَا in the previous lesson, that even though it's mostly used with past tense verbs, the meaning is present tense, yani future tense, I mean, future tense. Both of them may be madi, but the meaning is future. For example, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا, and if you return, yani to committing sins, we shall also return to punishing for those sins. This is in the Quran, 17th surah and 8th ayat. The madi verb is مَبْنِيٌ, so the conditional words do not affect any change in them. And it doesn't affect the madi verb because it's مَبْنِيٌ, like it affects the mudari verb, which is مُعْرَب, so it becomes majzoom because of these conditional instruments. In wa in udtum udna, yani udtum is a past tense verb, udna is a past tense verb, so the particle of jazm doesn't affect them. C, the third possibility, first two possibilities, both of them are madi, in which both cases, in both verbs become majzoom. Both of them are, I said mudari, I hope, mudari, in which case both of them will become majzoom, or both of them can be madi, in which neither of them are affected by the adawat shart. The third possibility is that the first verb, the first may be madi, and the second mudari. In which case, the first one would not be affected, but the second one would become majzum. For example, من كان. This is the verb of the shart. من كان يريد حرف الآخرة نزد له في حرفه. And whoever desires the harvest, the harf, the harvest of the hereafter, we will increase him. نزد له. We will increase him in its harf, in its harvest. This is Quran, 42nd Surah, 20th ayah, in ayah. In this case, the second verb is majzum, because the second verb is a mudari verb. The first verb is kana. Kana is madi verb, so it's not affected. The jawab, a short verb, is nazid. Yani, whoever desires, men kana. Yani, whoever desires the harvest of the hereafter, the jawab is what? We give him increase in his harvest. Nazid lahu fi harfihi. The fourth possibility is the first verb may be mudari, and it will become majzum, while the second verb may be madi, in which case it's not affected. The example they gave, man yaqum, yani originally this verb should be yaqumu, qama yaqumu, but it became majzum. The last letter meem took sukun. It was preceded by waw with sukun, yaqumu. So the waw is omitted, it became yaqum. Man yaqum laylatal qadri imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu. This is the jawab, but it's a past tense verb, so it's not affected. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Whoever stands up, yani for salat, man yaqum laylatal qadr. Whoever stands up offering salat on the night of qadr, imanan wa ihtisaban, with faith and hope of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghufira lahu, yani ma taqaddama min dhanbihi, his past sins will be forgiven him. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدِمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. In this case, the first verb is مُضَارِي, so it's مَجْزُوم, مَنْ يَقُمْ. And the second verb is مَاضِي, so it's not affected, غُفِرَ. يعني, the شرط is مَنْ يَقُمْ. The جواب الشرط is غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدِمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Okay, so this is just a quick look at the verb of the شرط and the verb of the جواب الشرط. Yani, if it is a mudari verb, in both cases it became majzum. And if it is a madi verb, it's not affected by the instruments of shart. The last topic that we want to look at in reference to the shart construction is, when does the jawab take fa? And we mentioned previously two situations in the previous lesson. In this lesson we see seven more, completing them here as nine. When does the jawab of the shart take fa? Keeping in mind that if it takes fa, then the jawab, the fi'l of the jawab, even if it's a mudari verb, because of it being preceded by fa, it's not going to be affected. It's not going to become majzum, but rather the whole jawab of shart becomes yani fi mahalli jazm, in the place where it should be majzum. But here what we want to focus on, though, two things. Number one, we want to focus on the remaining situations, totaling nine, in which it is required that the jawab or shart be have a fix to it, preceded or prefixed with fa. What situations must it take fa? And secondly, we want to note that if that fa is prefixed to the jawab or shart, the jawab or shart, if it's a mudari verb, is not going to become majzum. It's not going to be affected here because of the fa. Okay, but the whole jawab al-shart becomes majzum. We're going to mention that at the end. Okay, so let's look at when does, bottom of page 59, when does the jawab take fa? We've seen in the previous lesson two of the situations in which the jawab al-shart should take fa. Yani, those two situations were if the jawab al-shart is a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, and if the jawab al-shart is a fi'l talabi. Yani, a fi'l talabi means that it's a command or a prohibition or an istifham, a question. Okay, those are the two situations that were mentioned in the previous lesson. Yani, that the jawab al shart must take fa if that jawab al shart is a jumla ismiya, or if it's a fi'l talabi. We took that in the previous lesson. Now we're going to look at the remaining situations. Here are the other situations. Other situations in which the jawab al shart must take fa. So So number three. In the previous lesson, we had one and two. Now we have number three. If the jawab al-shart is a jamid verb, let's just list the remaining seven, and then we'll come back and read the details of them. Okay, so the remaining seven, the first one is, it must take fa. The jawab al-shart must take fa if it's a jumla ismiya. Secondly, it must take fa if it's a fi'l talabi. Number three, if the jawab al-shart is a jamid verb, and we're going to explain what that is. Number four, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by qad. Number five, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by ma nafiya. Number six, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by len. Number seven, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by seen, yani sa, that indicates futurity. Number eight, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by sawfa, which indicates futurity. And number nine, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by ka'annama. So, the point here, right? If the jawab al-shart is preceded by these things, by ka'annama, by sawfa and seen, or len, and ma, or qad, if it's preceded by any of these things, then it must take fa. Or, if it's preceded by a jamid verb, or fi'l talabi, or jumla ismiya. So the first three are if it's preceded by a jumla ismiya, I mean if the jawab al-shart is a jumla ismiya, or a fi'l talabi, or a jamid verb, it must take fa. The rest of the cases is if the jawab is preceded by certain things, like qad, or ma, or len, or seen, or sawfa, or ka'annama. So all of these things we have to, this is the point where we have to memorize, right? We have to memorize nine things. If those things come into play in the jawab, then the jawab must be preceded by fa. That's what we're talking about now. When do we have to use fa with the jawab? These are nine cases in which the jawab al-shart must be preceded by fa. Two of them we had previously, jumla ismi and fi'l talabi. Now we're going to look at the remaining. Number three, if the jawab al-shart is a jamid verb. In the footnote it says, number one, a jamid verb, al-fi'l al-jamid, is one which has only one form, like laysa and asa. These verbs have no mudari or amr. Yani they only have a past tense form. They don't have a mudari form. They don't have an amr form. So we know that the verb, yani, is divided into three types, past tense, present tense, and amr, fi'l madi, fi'l mudari, and fi'l amr. This jamid verb is a verb that only has a past tense form. You say laysa, lastu, lasta, lasti, only past tense form. That's a jamid verb. So laysa is a jamid verb. Asa is a jamid verb. So if we have the jawab al-shart coming as a jamid verb, a verb that doesn't have a present tense or amr form, only has a past tense form, if that verb is the jawab al-shart, then it must be preceded by fa. Example they gave us, man ghashana falaysa minna. And whoever cheats us is not from us, is not one of us. Man ghashana. Man is the adat al-shart, ghashana is the fi'l al-shart, it's a past tense verb, so it's not affected. Falaysa minna. The jawab al-shart is laysa. Laysa is a jamid verb, so it has to be preceded by fa. Falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us is not one of us. Whoever deceives us or cheats us is not one of us. Number four. If the verb in the jawab is preceded by qad. For example, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. This is in the Quran, 33rd Surah, 71st Ayat. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ, yani here, man is the adat al-shart. يُطِعِ is the fi'l of the shart. It's originally أَطَاعَ يُطِيعُ, يُطِيعُ, but when it became majzum, the last letter, ayn, became sakin. Sukoon is preceded by ya with sukoon in yuti'u. So therefore, in order to eliminate iltiqa' sakin ayn, the weak letter ya is deleted. So it became yuti'u. Here, because it's followed by hamzatul wasl in the lafz al-jalala, so the kesra is only added here for pronunciation. But originally, this verb has sukoon. And that's the sign of it being majzoom. Wa may yuti'u. Yani, yuti'u is the fi'l of the shart. فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. فاز is the جواب الشرط. But because the جواب الشرط is preceded by قد, it must have attached to it فا. يعني whenever the جواب الشرط is preceded by قد, يعني in this case it means قد فقد فاز, definitely that person has achieved success. فوزا عظيما, a great success. So يطيع is the فعل of the شرط, and فاز is the جواب الشرط. يعني يطيع is a مضارع verb, so it's مجزوم, and فاز is a ماضي verb, so it's not affected, but you're required to include فا here because the جواب الشرط is preceded by قد. Number 5, if the verb in the جواب is preceded by the negative ما, ما نافية. For example, مهما تكن الظروف فما أكذب. Whatever, مهما, whatever may be the circumstances, I don't lie. I will not lie. I don't lie. Whatever might be the circumstances, no matter what might be involved, I'm not going to lie. مهما تكن. Here, مهما is the أداة الشرط. تكن is the فعل of the شرط. And أكذبو is the جواب الشرط. So both the فعل of the شرط تكن and the جواب الشرط أكذب are both مضاري verbs. The first of them تكن became مجزوم. It was originally تكونو, كان يكونو, أنت تكونو. When it became مجزوم, the last letter نون took سكون. It's preceded by واو with سكون in تكونو. Therefore the واو is deleted, so it became تكن. Because it's followed by Hamzatul Wasl, we added the Kasra just for pronunciation. مهما تكون became مهما تكون الظروف فما أكذب. يعني the جواب الشرط is أكذبو. يعني because it's preceded by ما, the negative ما, so it has to have attached to it فا. يعني when the جواب الشرط is preceded by negative ما, ما أكذبو, it has to be preceded by فا. And we also said that the جواب الشرط, if it's preceded by fa, it's, even though it's mudari verb, akdibu is a mudari verb, but it's not majzoom because it has fa attached to it. Otherwise, it should be majzoom. As the jawab al-sharat, a mudari verb should be majzoom, but because it's preceded by fa, therefore it's not majzoom. The sixth case, if the verb in the jawab is preceded by len, yani indicating negation of the future. For example, man labisa al-harira fi dunya, فَلَنْ يَلْبَسَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Whoever puts on silk dress in this world will not put it on in the hereafter. يعني من is the أدات الشرط. لبس is the فعل الشرط. It's past tense, so it's not affected. Whoever wears silk clothing in this world, فَلَنْ يَلْبَسَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Here the جواب الشرط verb is مضاري. يلبس. يلبس. But it's not مجزوم. Why? Because the جواب الشرط is preceded by فا. Whenever the جواب الشرط is preceded by فا, even though it's a مضاري verb in the جواب, it's not going to become مجزوم. Rather, in this case, it's منصوب by لن. لن requires us to have فا. Whenever the جواب الشرط is preceded by لن, just like when it's preceded by ما نافية, then it's going to require فا. And because of the فا being added here, the mudari verb, which is the jawab of the shart, doesn't become majzoom. Number 7, if the verb in the jawab is preceded by sa, yani the letter seen, which indicates futurity, it limits the meaning of the mudari verb to the future. If the verb in the jawab is preceded by sa, for example, fasa'usafiru, in tusafir, fasa'usafiru, in tusafir, فَسَأُسَافِرُ. If you travel, I will also travel. يعني إن is the أدات الشرط. تُسَافِر is the فعل of the شرط. It's مجزوم because it's a مضاري verb, so it became مجزوم. The جواب الشرط is أُسَافِر. أُسَافِر, it's a مضاري verb, but it didn't become مجزوم. Why? Because فَا is prefixed to the جواب. And what requires فَا to be prefixed to the جواب? If the جواب is preceded by سين, then we must add fa as well. And if fa is added, the mudari verb, that's the jawab, yani the jawab al-shart, that mudari verb doesn't become majzoom, but rather the whole jawab, فا فَسَأُسَافِرُ The whole jawab we say is فِي مَحَلِّ جَزْم In the place where it should be مَجْزُوم If you travel إِن تُسَافِر That's مَجْزُوم فَسَأُسَافِرُ Then I will also travel. Here, يعني because it's preceded by seen, it must take فَا And if it takes fa, it doesn't. The mudari verb doesn't become majzum. Number 8. If the verb in the jawab is preceded, if the verb in the jawab is preceded by sawfa, for example, yani sawfa has the same meaning of seen. Yani it's used to make the mudari verb limit in its time to the future. So if the verb in the jawab is preceded by sawfa, then it must also take fa, as in وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ This is in the Quran, 9th surah, 28th ayah. And if you fear poverty, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً If you fear poverty, Allah will enrich you, if He wills, out of His bounty. فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ Then Allah will enrich you. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ From His bounty. إِنْ شَاءَ If He wills. Here, إِنْ is the adat al-shart. خِفْتُمْ is the fi'l of the shart. It's past tense, so it's not affected. يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ يُغْنِي is the fi'l of the jawab. It's a mudari verb. So it should become majzum, but because it's preceded by so it doesn't become majzum. Why is the fa there? Because yani the jawab of the shart is preceded by sawfa. Sawfa yughniikum. Sawfa requires us to take fa. Fa negates the yani making of the mudari verb majzum. Yani it prevents the mudari verb from becoming majzum, but rather the whole jawab of shart fasawfa yughniikumullahu min fadlihi in sha' become في محل جزم in the place where it should be مجزوم otherwise this verb يغني from أغنى يغني it should have become مجزوم but because it's preceded by سوفا سوفا requires فا and فا prevents the مضارع verb in the جواب from becoming مجزوم number 9 if the verb in the جواب is preceded by كأنما which means as if it is as if That whoever kills a human being for other than murder or corruption in the earth, it is as if he has killed all of mankind. So it is as if is the meaning of كَأَنَّمَا in this ayat, in the Quran, 5th surah, 32nd ayat. أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا And whoever kills a human being بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ For other than, yani, murder. For other than having killed another person. أو فساد في الأرض. In my book, it doesn't have في الأرض here. If you don't have في الأرض here, please add it to the ayat. أو فساد في الأرض. Yani, whoever kills a person for other than them having killed somebody, murdered someone, or for other than them having made corruption in the earth. If they didn't kill anyone, and they didn't make fasad in the earth, and somebody kills that person for other than these two reasons, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا Then it will be as if he has killed the whole of humanity, all of mankind. يعني النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا All mankind. مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا مَنْ is the adat الشَّرْط قَتَلَ is the fi'l of the shart. It's ماضي, so it's not affected. قَتَلَ النَّاسَ is the جواب الشرط. It's also past tense, so it's not affected. It is preceded by كَأَنَّمَا, which requires us then to use فَا. Yani this is one of the cases in which it's required to use فَا. That is, if the جواب of the شرط, قَتَلَ النَّاسَ, is preceded by كَأَنَّمَا, this requires us to use Fa, just as we said in the previous cases, if the jawab al-shart is preceded by sawfa, or seen, or len, or ma, or qad, in all of these cases, yani the jawab al-shart is preceded by these things, it's required to use fa as well as if the jawab al-shart is a jamid verb or fi'l talabi or jumla ismiya. And finally, we close this point number one. All of this is point number one. We close it with this final note. If the jawab al-shart has fa, and I mentioned this previously, this is just, yani, just so that we don't, yani, the point is not lost in all of this other detail. If the jawab al-shart has fa, the mudari verb therein, yani the mudari verb in the jawab al-shart, is not majzoom. If the jawab al-shart is preceded by fa, the mudari verb in the jawab al-shart does not become majzoom. See numbers 5, 6, and 8 above, or we should say 5, 6, 7, and 8. 5, 6, 7, and 8 for this rule. In this case, the whole jawab al-shart is said to be in the place of jazm. Fi mahalli jazm. Yani, if it's preceded by fa, the mudari verb doesn't become majzoom. Rather, the whole jawab al-shart is said to be fi mahalli jazm, in the place where it should be majzoom. So they said examples of this are in number 5, 6, and 8. We say 5, 6, 7, and 8. All of them are cases in which the mudari verb didn't become majzoom because fa was added. So in 5, we see that the mudari verb is akdhibu. It's not majzoom because fa has been added due to it being preceded by ma. In 6, we see that the jawab al-shart is yalbasahu. Yani, falan yalbasahu. Here the mudari verb, yani the jawab al-shart, is a mudari verb, but it's not majzoom because it was preceded by len requiring fa. And if fa is there, the mudari verb of the shart doesn't become majzoom. Number 7, we are adding here, number 7 to this list of examples, 5, 6, 7, and 8. In number 7, we see the jawab al-shart is usafiru. Usafiru is not majzoom since it was preceded by seen, requiring fa, and therefore, if fa is added to the jawab al-shart, it doesn't become majzoom. And in number 8, the jawab al-shart is yughniikumullah. It is preceded by sawfa, and sawfa requires fa. If fa is added to the jawab al-shart, the mudari verb, in this case, yughni, yani, doesn't become majzoom. So that's the end of point number 1. Alhamdulillah, yani, quite detailed, quite involved for sure. But in any case, yani, it's quite lengthy, it's an important topic, and that's why we're not going to do more than the English key today, so that we had time during the week to review, I mean to preview this, these points of the English key, especially the first point, which is the most detailed, and it contained a number of different things, yani, more details concerning the meaning of shart, other words that are used for shart, like men and ma and mata and aina and ayu, and look at examining the verbs of the shart and the jawab al-shart, yani considering if it is madi or mudari. If it's madi, it's not affected. If it's mudari, it should become majzoom, unless we have fa there. And then looking at the cases or situations in which fa must be added to the jawab al-shart, and we said that there are 9 mentioned here, 2 from the previous lesson and 7 from this lesson. I hope, inshallah, that it's clear, even if we didn't memorize all 9 of them. Probably we try to memorize the first 3, jumla, ismiya, fi'l talabi, that we have from the previous lesson, and the jamid verb. And then the rest of them are all cases in which the jawab al-shart is preceded by something. Yani, preceded by qad, preceded by ma or len. You can remember ma and len because both of them are particles of negation. Preceded by seen and sawfa, you can remember them because both of them are related to the meaning of future. And then we have ka'annama. So easy, it should be easy to remember seen and sawfa and ma and len. That should be easy. And then there's qad and ka'annama, and then there's the jumla ismiya, fi'l talabi, and fi'l jamid. Yani, the jamid verb and the talabi verb. You can remember those two together as well. I hope that, inshallah, yani, that we begin to memorize all of these 9 situations and understand how they work and how, yani, when the fa is added, it restricts the mudari verb from becoming majzoom. Rather, the whole jawab al-shart is majzoom. Okay, point number 2 of this English key is dealing with kam, the 2 types of kam. And this is also a little bit involved, but not like the first point. We have learned the word kam. How many in book 1? For example, we had kam kitaban indaka, kam riyalan indaka. How many books do you have? Here, come is used to ask a question. And it's used to ask a question. And it's istifham. So it is called come al-istifhamiyyatu. Come al-istifhamiyyatu. Because it's used to ask a question about the number of something that's unknown. And you want to identify and to specify how many a person has. Okay? It's a question, therefore it's called come al-istifhamiyyah. But if we say, kam kitabin indak, oh, how many books you have. Yani in amazement or wonderment at how many books a person has, that they have a lot of books. Wow, how many books do you have? If you say this, kam kitabin indak, it means, oh, how many books you have. Here I am not asking a question, how many books you have. Actually, I'm expressing wonderment or amazement at the great number of books that you have. So this one is called kam al-khabariyya. Yani it's not istifhamiyya, asking a question. It's khabariyya. It's a, yani an expression of amazement or wonderment at the many, yani the great number of something that is being looked at here. Okay, so this one, it's a statement of information about al-adad al-kathir, yani a large number of something. That number is also unknown, but it's a large number. But the meaning of this expression is, how many books do you have? Meaning is you have a lot of books. That's the meaning of it. That's the meaning of it. It means that you have a lot of books. So there's kam al-istifhamiyya, which we had previously. That's a question. How many books do you have? And then there's kam al-khabariyya. Al-khabar, yani means given information. Yani I'm stating in amazement or wonderment that you have a lot of books. Wow, you have a lot of books. Kam al-khabariyya. So the points in which kam al-istifhamiyya and kam al-khabariyya differ from each other, the points in which they differ from each other are, number one, the tamyiz of kam istifhamiyya is always singular, and it is mansub. So these are the points where they differ from each other. The tamyiz, the word that comes after kam, yani kam kitabin, the tamyiz of kam al-istifhamiyya is always singular, and it's always mansub. And we knew this from a long time ago. We learned this way back, okay, in book one probably. The tamyiz of kam al-khabariyya may be singular, or it may be plural. Yani kam istifhamiyya, its tamyiz is always singular. But as far as kam al-khabariyya, it could be singular, or it could be plural. And it also differs in that what? Not only can it be singular or plural, but it's also majroor. The tamyiz of kam istifhamiyya is always mansoob. The tamyiz of kam khabariyya is majroor. And it being majroor, yani it may be majroor being preceded by min or without min. So it may be singular or it may be plural. It will be majroor, and that being majroor could be because it's preceded by min, or it's going to be majroor even if there's no min. So we have three situations here. It could be singular, it could be plural, and it could be majroor with min or without min. So for example, we say it's singular, kam kitabin indaka. That's kam al-khabariyya. Amazing. Oh, how many books you have. Kam kitabin. It's singular. But it also can be plural. You can say kam kutubin indaka. Wow. Kam kutubin indaka. Look how many books you have. Plural. So the tamyiz of kam in the kam khabariyya can be singular, kam kitabin or kam kutubin. But it's going to be majroor in every case. And the third possibility is that it being majroor could be because of the min that you actually see there. Kam min kitabin indaka. Kam min kitabin indaka. Oh, how many books you have. So there are three possibilities for kam al-khabariyya. The tamyiz of kam could be singular. Kam kitabin could be plural. Kam kutubin could be preceded by min. Kam min kitabin indaka. Excuse me. But it is better to avoid the construction kam kutubin, yani using it in the plural. But rather what is more common and what is better is to say kam kitabin or kam min kitabin. Yani using the tamyiz as singular, either with min or without min. That is what is better to use. But it may come in either of these three ways. Okay, so what's the points of difference between kam al-istifhamiyya and kam al-khabariyya? Kam al-istifhamiyya, its tamyiz is always singular and it's always mansoob. As far as the tamyiz of kam al-khabariyya, it may be singular or it may be plural. It's always majrur, but it may be preceded by min or not preceded by min. Each of the two types of kam has its own intonation in speech, and in the way you say it. And it's just like in English, if you're asking somebody a question, there's an intonation. How many books do you have? Or you may say, how many books you have? And the intonation is different for kam istifhamiyya and kam khabariyya. And each of them has its own punctuation mark. And kam istifhamiyya has a question mark, kam khabariyya has an explanation mark. And finally, here are some more examples of kam al-khabariyya. Yani we've seen kam istifhamiyya in previous lessons, lots of places we've seen it since book one. So we're familiar with that. Here are examples of kam khabariyya, meaning the kam in which you're not asking a question, rather you're making a statement of wonder or amazement at how many of that thing it is. Kathir, that is a lot. Kam najmin fis sama, kam najmin fis sama. Oh, how many stars are in the sky. Here we see that the tamyiz of kam is singular. It could be plural. It could be, it's majrur, but it could be also preceded by min. It could be kam min najmin fis sama. Or it could be kam nujumin fis sama. And it could be plural, could be preceded by min. The second example they gave us from the Quran, we're not going to be able to change that, right? The Quran, second surah, 249th ayat. Oh, how many times a small group has overcome a mighty group with Allah's permission, by the permission of Allah, bi-idhnillah. Kam min fiyatin qalilatin. How many times has there been a fiyah qalila, a small group, ghalabat, that overcame fiyatan kathira, that overcame a large group, bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. So here, we have kam min fiyatin. Yani we have min with kam, and the tamyiz is fiyatin. It's singular, and it's majrur. Here we can't change it, but in principle, yani the tamyiz of kam can be singular, fiya, and can be plural, fiat. It can be preceded by min, or it can be without min, but it's going to be majrur in any case. Kam min fiyatin, qalilatin ghalabat fiyatan, overcame fiyatan kathiratan, bi-idhnillah. Okay, so basically what we want to say here is that there are two types of kam. There's istifhamiyya, where you're just asking a question about an unknown number. And then there's khabariyya, where you're making a statement about an unknown number, that is kathir, that is a lot. Okay, the difference between them is that kam istifhamiyya, its tamyiz is always singular and it's always mansoob. And kam al-khabariyya, its tamyiz can be singular or plural. And it can be preceded by min or without min, but it's always majrur. Now, we're going to learn, when we get to the Arabic section, we're going to also, Lane, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at my screen at all. Regarding tamyiz of kam, are we saying that although using a plural tamyiz is permitted, it is better to use a singular? That's correct, yes. It's better to use, yani the Shaykh is saying, it is better to avoid the construction of the plural. Yani kam al-khabariyya can be its tamyiz can be singular or plural, but he's saying it is better. It's permissible, but it's better to avoid the construction with the plural. I'm asking this because it's said in the book it is better not to say kam kutubin indak. Now, that's correct. Yeah, it's better. And that's the Shaykh is saying that this is a better construction to use the singular and not the plural, though it's permissible. Yani it's linguistically, it's permissible to use the plural. Yani, in other words, the tamyiz of kam khabariyya can be singular or plural, but it's better to avoid that type of plural construction. Okay, so I just want to note here that we'll come to the Arabic explanation of all of this, and we'll see that even though there's some difference between kam istifhami and kham kabariya in reference to the tamyiz. There are things that they agree upon, and we'll look at them in detail later on, but both of them are a noun, both of them are mubhim, yani they are not clear what the number is. It's something, yani that you are stating a large number without saying how many, or you're asking about the number of something without knowing how many. Both of them require a tamyiz, and both of them come, in both cases, the come has the right to come first. It always comes in the beginning of the sentence. So these are what they are in agreement about. Both of them are ism, noun, both of them are mubham, yani a number that's unclear. Both of them require a tamyiz, even though the tamyiz of istifhamiyah is always going to be singular mansub, whereas the tamyiz of the khabariyah could be singular or plural, can be preceded by min or not. But they agree that both of them require a tamyiz, and both of them begin the speech. Both of them have to be at the beginning of the speech. And we'll talk about this later on in detail. We're going to go on to the next point of this English key, point number 3. Hatta has two meanings. Okay, so one meaning is until, and the other meaning is so that. Okay, two meanings, until or so that. A, till, for example, من جاء متأخرا فلا يدخل حتى يستأذن. And whoever comes late should not enter until he seeks permission. So here, حتى يستأذن means he shouldn't enter until he seeks permission. Here's another example. Wait until I get dressed. انتظر حتى ألبس. Wait حتى ألبس, yani until. until I get myself dressed. The second meaning is so that. Yani, it has the meaning of لام التعليل. دخلت حتى لا أشغلك. I entered without seeking permission. Yani, without seeking permission is understood here. I entered without, yani, this person entered and they didn't ask permission. They're explaining why I entered. Yani, without seeking permission. So that. حتى لا أشغلك. So that I might not distract you. Not until I might not distract you, but so that. Yani, having the meaning of لام التعليل. So that I might not distract you. Here's another example. أدرس اللغة العربية حتى أفهم القرآن. I'm studying the Arabic language so that I can understand the Quran. It doesn't mean I'm studying the Arabic language until I understand the Quran. No, it's I'm studying the Arabic language for the purpose of, so that, yani, so that I can understand the Quran. The mudari, which comes after hatta, of either meaning, until or so that. The mudari, which comes after hatta, is mansub because of the latent n. Yani, n al-mudmara. N al-mudmara. Yani, mudmara is spelt meem, bad, meem, ra, and tarmabuta. Mudmara. N al-mudmara, yani the N that you don't see, but it is understood to be there, and therefore it affects the mudari verb and makes it majzoom. N al-mudmara makes the mudari verb mansub, makes it mansub. I don't know if I said majzoom or mansub. Mansub. N, yani mudmara, makes the mudari verb after hatta mansub. Okay, so basically we're saying here hatta has two meanings. One of the meanings is, yani, I didn't enter, or one must not enter until the exclamation. The other one is I entered so that, yani, I entered without asking permission, so that I would not distract you. Two meanings. The fourth point of this lesson is also extremely brief. Yani, it's the ism fa'il, the verb noun, ha'a. Ha is a verb noun meaning take, means khudh. And it is a fi'l amr, a command, khudh. That's the meaning, ha'a, khudh. This is how it is isnaded to other pronouns of the second person. Since it's a fi'l amr, ism fi'l has the meaning of amr, so it's only going to be used with the second person. Yani, second person, masculine, singular, second person, masculine, plural, second person, feminine, singular, second person, feminine, plural. For the masculine, singular, plural, ha'a al-kitaba. Ya Ali, take the book, O Ali. Ha umul kitaba. Ya ikhwanu, ha you all, take the book, O brothers. feminine singular, ha'i. Al-kitaba, ya aminatu. Note that al-kitaba in each case is mansub because it's the maf'ulun bi of the fi'l amr. Yani, because this ism fi'l has the meaning of amr, means khudh. Khudh al-kitaba. Ha'i, al-kitaba, ya aminatu. Take the book, O Amina. Second person, feminine, plural, ha'unna. Al-kitaba, ya akhawat. Take the book, O sisters. In the Quran, 69th surah, 19th ayat, we have ha'um. Yani ha, that's the second person, masculine plural. Ha'um uqra'u kitabiyya. Take, yani khudh, khudhu, you all. Ha'um uqra'u al-kitabiyya. Take, yani ha'um, khudhu, take and read. Waqra'u kitabiyya. Take and read my book. So this is a verbal noun. Ism fi'l has the meaning of amr, yani it has the meaning of khudh. Ha'a, ha'um for the masculine, ha'i and ha'unna for the feminine, singular and plural. Point number 5 says, we're on page 62, we have been introduced to the diminutive, yani tasghir, in book 2, lesson 26. Here we learn more about it. The diminutive tasghir has any meaning, the indication of something as being small or dear. Has three patterns. It has three patterns. Fu'ailun, A. B. Fu'ailun. And C. Fu'ailun. So fu'ail, for example, is the word zuhair from zahrun. On the pattern of fu'ail, yani we get zuhair. The same thing, jubailun. On the pattern of Jabal, we get Jubail. The first letter is followed by U, yani Jabal became Ju. The second letter is followed by A-I, Bay, Jubay. And then the third letter takes the Tanween. Jubail. Jabal became Jubail. Zahrun became Zuhair. And so on like this. So this is the tasghir that we've seen before. And that's when there are, yani it's a triliteral word. Yani a word that has three root letters. If it has four letters, then we use the pattern. Fu'ail with an extra ayn. Fu, dhamma on the first letter. A on the, yani fatta ya on the second letter. And then the third letter taking kasra. Fu'ail. Fu'ailun. From a word like, yani dirham, four letters. Dirham became durayhim. Durayhim. The first letter is followed by dhamma, as in the previous pattern. The second is followed by ai, and then the third letter of four gets a kesra. So the pattern is fu'ail. Dirham, durayhim. Note that the diminutive of kitab is kutayyib, and that's because the aleph in kitab is changed to ya. So it became kutayyib. But the two ya's, the ya with sukun followed by the ya with kasra, became written as one with shadda. Ku tay, the pattern is fu'ail. So it became ku tayyib, or, yani because the aleph became ya, or ku tayyib with shadda. The third pattern is for five, a word that has five letters. It's on the pattern of fu'ail. For example, Funajin from Finjan. Yani has five letters. Note that the fourth letter is Aleph. So in this pattern, yani the Aleph also becomes a Ya. The Aleph becomes a Ya. And you have the first letter taking Dhamma, the second letter taking Ai, the third letter taking the long vowel I. So Finjan became what? Funajin. And these are three patterns for the tasghir, yani which indicates something being small or dear. The sixth point of this English key is, yani it's not that in common use, but it does exist and we should know it. It's particular and special to the verb kana yakunu, and four forms of the mudari verb, or four any forms of the mudari verb, yakunu, takunu, akunu, and nakunu. Yani the forms that normally end with dhamma. Yani ana akunu, nahnu nakunu, huwa yakunu, and anta takunu, or hiya takunu. Yani these are the forms that normally, of the mudari verb that normally end with dhamma. When they are mansub, they end with fatha. When they are majzum, they end with sukun. And we're talking about these four forms of the mudari verb just for the verb kana yakunu. The four mudari forms of the verb kana yakunu, the four forms that normally end with dhamma when they are marfoon and sukun when they are majzum. These four majzum forms of yakunu may drop the noon, and yakunu may become yakun. Takunu become takun. Taku, I'm sorry. Yaku, taku, aku, and naku. Yani, yakun becomes yaku. The noon is deleted. And takun becomes taku, with the noon being deleted. And akun becomes aku, with the noon being deleted. Or nakun becomes naku. These are only for the mudari form of the verb kana yakunu. And only these forms of the mudari verb that normally end with dhamma, when they are majzoom, you may say yakun or you may say yaku without the noon. You may say takun or taku, akun or aku, nakun or naku. And there are some exceptions to this rule, but this is the general rule that the four majzoom forms of yakunu may drop the noon. It's permissible to drop the noon. They give us some examples. And I guess in the Arabic expression, they'll explain the exceptions. And the exceptions are basically, this is allowed except if the word following that mudari form, yakun, takun, akun, nanuku, the word following it, if the word following it has sukun, if the word following it has sukun, then we can't drop the noon. And if the word following it is a pronoun, or if there's attached to it a muttasil nasb pronoun, and we'll look at it in detail in the future, but there are two exceptions here when this noon cannot be dropped. The general rule is that if the verb yakunu, takunu, akunu, nakunu is majzum, then the noon may be deleted altogether. Here's some examples that they gave. I was not, and I was not an unchaste, yani baghi, I was not an unchaste woman in the Quran 19th surah 20th ayat. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. Yani أَكُ here is the verb form for the first person, أَكُونُ. When it became مَجْزُوم by لَمْ, it became أَكُن, in which case it's permissible for it to be لَمْ أَكُن or لَمْ أَكُ. In this ayat, it came in the Quran as لَمْ أَكُ, showing that it's permissible for the noon to be deleted when this form of the مُضَارِي verb is مَجْزُوم. The second example they gave us, and I created you before, while you were nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Zakariya, وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ, I have created you, مِنْ قَبْلُ, before, وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا, while you were nothing. The shahid in this ayat is what? لَمْ تَكُ. Yani, تَكُ here is originally the verb form from kana yakunu, anta takunu. When it became majzum because of lam, it became takun. Takun. It's permissible for the noon to be deleted, in which case it became lam taku. Yani, you were not anything. This is in the Quran, 19th surah, 9th ayat. Next example they gave us on page 63. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ, they said we were not among those who perform salat, al-musallin. In the Quran 74th surah 43rd ayat, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ, this is the shahid, نَكُ is originally لَمْ, yani before لَمْ it's نَكُونُ, نَحْنُ نَكُونُ. When it became مَجْزُوم, نَكُونُ, yani the noon took sukun, it's preceded by waw with sukun, which is omitted because of iltiqa' sakinain, so it became nakun, and it's permissible for that noon to be deleted, in which case in this ayah it became lam naku. They said, we were not from the Musallin, the people who prayed. And the last example they gave us from the Quran is from the 9th surah, 74th ayah. فَإِنْ يَتُوبُوا يَكُوا خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. And if they repent, it will be better for them. If they repent, وَإِنْ يَتُوبُوا, and if they repent, that's shart, right? It became majzoom. وَإِنْ يَكُونُوا, if they will repent, يَكُوا خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. It will be better for them. Here, the original word yaku is from the verb kana yakunu. It will be better for them. Yakunu became majzoom because of what? Because of the shart. Because it's jawabu shart. Wa in yatubu yakun. Yaku. So here's jawabu shart. It's majzoom. So it became yakunu became yakun. Became yakun. Because the last letter takes sukoon, is preceded by waw with sukoon. The waw with sukoon is omitted to eliminate iltiqa' al-sakinain, so it became yakun, in which case it's permissible for the noon to be omitted, yaku. Fa'in yatubu yaku khayran lahum. And if they repent, it will be better for them. Quran 9:74. Last example that's given here. Whoever has a bitter, sickly mouth, a mouth that is bitter, because it is sickly, finds with it, they will find with that bitter, sickly mouth, they will find the purest fresh water bitter. They will find the purest fresh water will become bitter because of what? Because their mouth is bitter due to it being sickly. Whoever has a bitter, sickly mouth finds with it the purest fresh water also becoming bitter. The omission, the optional omission of the noon, which is the third radical, is peculiar to kana yakunu. Yani, in other words, this omission of the noon, which is permissible, is optional. This is only for the verb kana yakunu. It's only for the mudari forms that normally end with dhamma, like yakunu, nakunu, akunu, and takunu. It's only for them, and it's optional. And we'll see in the Arabic section that there's two exceptions to that. But basically, it's permissible. As far as this poetry. Word, this example here that they ended with, وَمَيْ يَقُوا ذَا فَمِنْ مُرٍ مَرِيدٍ يَجِدْ مُرًّا بِهِ الْمَاءَ الزُّلَالَ وَمَيْ يَكُنْ whoever يَكُونُ, yani this is, man is a shart, so يَكُونُ became majzoom. The noon takes sukoon, the waw with sukoon before it, يَكُونُ, is omitted because of iltiqa' sakinain, so it became يَكُنْ. The noon is permissible to be omitted, so it became yaku. وَمَنْ يَكُوْ, whoever he was, the feminine, possessing a mouth, مُرٍ, that's bitter, مَرِيدٍ, and sick, whoever has a mouth that's bitter and sick, يَجِدْ مُرًّا, he will find things to be bitter, بِهِ, with this mouth, even if it was الْمَا الزُّلَالَ, even if it was the purest fresh water, he will find with this mouth that is مُر, مَرِيد, sick and bitter, he will find even the purest fresh water, مُرًّا, يَجِدُ مُرًّا, he will find bitter with this mouth, even water that is fresh. Okay, again, this point is basically what? That the mudari forms that normally end with dhamma, when they are majzoom, that noon that has the sukoon can be omitted. The last point, and we're going to close with this, is number 7 on page 63, لَيْلَ نَهَارَ. In this expression, لَيْلَ نَهَارَ, two nouns have been combined into one. This combined word is mabniyun. And when these two words are combined like this, it's considered like one word, that is mabniyun. The same is true of sabaha masa'a. Sabaha masa'a. It's mabniyun ala fatha. We say, a'malu layla nahara. I work day and night. Or na'budu allaha sabaha masa'a. We worship masa'a. We worship Allah morning and evening. Yani, the combination of these two words in this fashion or this form, treated as one word, that's mabniyun in this particular situation. And we're going to stop with this. Next week, inshallah, we'll try to begin with the maybe a review of some of these points, really, really quick review. Please review them during the week. And then we're going to begin the session next week with the Arabic dialogue, which is 3 pages long, and as many of the exercises as we can possibly do. بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for each of you that He grant us the tawfiq, the success to do everything that we do and to say whatever we say sincerely for His sake alone, with ikhlas and in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He recognize, reward and record our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen. And just as a final note, please pay attention that the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are going to begin in a few more days, maybe on Thursday or Friday of the coming week. And these are very, very important days that we should exert ourselves in doing of good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said, "مَا مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرَةِ." That there are no deeds, there are no days in which good deeds are done that are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They said, "وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ." They said to the Prophet, "Not even jihad in the way of Allah." The Prophet said, "Wala al-jihad fi sabilillah illa rajulan kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi wa lam yarji min dhalika bi shay'in," except that a man that goes out in jihad with his life and his wealth and he doesn't return with any of that. These days are extremely important days to do good deeds. There's no deed that can be done, a good deed that can be done in any other time, that would be more beloved to Allah than the good deeds that are done in these days. It is important that we exert ourselves in these days. Perhaps I'll send out a reminder to the class, but any first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are coming, are very near. It is incumbent upon us to take advantage of this time and not to take it lightly. May Allah grant us success in doing so. Ameen.